Today's Shiva in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos, Daf Tzadi Aleph. And we're picking up six lines from the bottom on Tzadi Omud Beis with the words of Hani Tanoi, Ki Hani Tanoi. We're learning today Li'ili Nishmas, Ida Cinnamon, Chaya Bashmul Yosef, and Aranka Goldschmidt, Golda Bas Rav Yitzchak. All the Shams you learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Now, we pick up again, as I said, Tzadi Omud Beis, six lines from the bottom, and we'll get right into it because we'll explain what we're talking about, remind ourselves from yesterday's share by the first discussion. Vahani Tanoi, the opinion of the following Tanoi, Kihani Tanoi, is like the opinion of the other Tanoi that we had the Machlokis yesterday. Now, what was that Machlokis yesterday? And we'll see it again today. We're dealing over here with Achas B'Chayav, V'Achas B'Moso. This was the case that we talked about yesterday, where a man marries a woman, and Rahman al-Islam, the woman passes away. He then marries another woman, and then Rahman al-Islam, he passes away. So in this situation, do we have the din of Ksuvas Bnin Dichrin for the children of the first wife? In this situation, you have one wife that is alive, one wife that is dead, so maybe one opinion says the Ksuvas Bnin Dichrin doesn't apply. The other opinion says, no, it still applies in that situation, as long as you have the Moser Dinar. We'll remind ourselves again of all of these Dinar, and we'll learn the Mishnah today with Moser Dinar directly. In any event, the Gemara says, this machlokes that we had yesterday, do we say achas b'chaya v'achas b'moso? So that machlokes is the same over here. V'hani tenoi ki hani tenoi. The Tanya, we learned in this braisa, nosas arishona mesa, man marries a woman and nebuch the woman dies. Nosas ashniya mes ho, and then he marries another wife and then nebuch he passes away. So, boyin bonea shalzu li'acha misa, the sons of the second wife come, after the death of their mother, so the second wife also eventually dies, and the Yorshim for her come along and say, we wanted to collect our ksuba, the notling ksuba simon, and they go get to collect the ksuba. They're coming over here as a bal chov, because the mother was owed the ksuba during her lifetime, so she's like a bal chov onto the estate. And they're not coming as Yorshim over here for the ksuba, they're coming as a bal chov onto the estate. Obviously, they're inheriting the mother, the yorshim to the mother, but the reason why they're taking the ksuba is because the mother had a chov attachment to this, and therefore she's entitled to it. So her children are entitled to take it for her. That's the opinion of the Tanakama, benotlin ksubas imon. Now, that seems to imply, from the fact that we said that the second woman, the second wife's children, get the ksuba, that implies that the first wife's children do not collect the ksubas bin dichrin, and all they do is inherit the estate together. Any male sons from either the first and second wife, they get together and they divide up the estate evenly. So that's the opinion of the Tanakam over here. So this opinion would not hold achas b'chayiv achas b'moso collects bin dichrin, ksubas bin dichrin. Now, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He holds that, yes, achas b'chayiv achas b'moso, you do collect ksuvas b'nin dichrin. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im yesh moser dinar, elu notlin ksuvas imon, ve'elu notlin ksuvas imon. Rabbi Shimon says, if there is that moser dinar, in other words, after you divide up the ksuvas b'nin dichrin, there's still some estate left, at least the dinar, that you now can have the din daraisa of Yerusha to be applied, so then the rabbi's institution, ksuvas b'nin dichrin, does apply both to the second wife as well as to the first wife, even though it's achas b'chayiv achas b'moso. The imla, but if there is no moser dinar, then cholkim b'shava. Then they divide everything up evenly because the din is if you don't have some remnant of the din daraisis, and the rabbi's takana ksubas bin dichrin doesn't apply. Now, this machlokes in the Tanakam, Rabbi Shimon, parallels exactly the machlokes that we had yesterday. My labahal kamitliki, it's the same exact machlokes. Rabbi Shimon holds the mar sovar achas b'chayv yachas b'moso. There is yesh lahen ksubas bin dichrin. There is the ksubas bin dichrin for the children of the first mother. The first wife who passed away. Umarasa, but the Tanakama holds no. So this seems to parallel the machlokes we had yesterday. The Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon parallel that machlokes. And Gemara says, not necessarily so. Lo. Because the Kulei Alma, Achaz B'chayv Yachaz B'moso, Yesh Leng Ksuvas Bin Dichrin. In fact, everybody holds in this Braisa, the Tanakama as well as Rabbi Shimon, both hold that there is Ksuvas Bin Dichrin, B'Achaz B'chayv Yachaz B'moso. We turn to Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. Then what are the Tanakam Rabbi Shimon arguing about? V'hocha, here in this case, in the Braisa, b'dinar mekarkoi kumifligi. They're arguing about, does the dinar have to be from karka or not? In other words, could it be from a tautali, or could it be from karka only, to have ksubas nin dichrin? Do we say, Mayer Sovar, the Tanakama holds mekarkoi in? However, mitautali lo. He says, no, it's only if you have karka, and you have to have a moser dinar's worth of karka, then the din of ksubas nin dichrin is applicable. They agree, the Tanakam agrees that din ksubas bin dichrin, but the parameters of it, you must have at least a moser dinar's worth of karka, and you can't say just because the second wife or the children of the second wife collected the ksuba, that is considered like there's karka left over. So if there's metaltali, no. If there's karka left over, yes. Well, my son, Rabbi Shimon, disagrees. He says, I feel metaltali. He says, even if you have metaltali, that would be acceptable. That would count for the mosar dinar that you need in order to have the din of ksubas b'nin dechwin. But both the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon agree to ksubas b'nin dechwin. Now, we're ultimately going to switch this around and say that this is incorrect the way we have it, albeit it's correct, but we have to switch around the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. So keep this in mind. Right now we're saying that Rabbi Shimon is the one that says that afilu metaltali, and it's the Tanakama that says you need karkoi. We'll see ultimately, and in the next Mishnah, it states so beferish that this is the opposite of what the din is. Rabbi Shimon is the one that says it has to be karko that's extant, and it's the Tanakama that says metaltali are good. Now the Gemara says, umi motzis amazachi, how can you possibly say that this is Rabbi Shimon? But none. We learned in the Mishnah, again, what I just pointed out, we're going to learn later in the Shia today, that Rabbi Shimon holds, Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu yesham nechasim she'en lamachrayis enun klum. He says, even if you have metaltli, metaltli is a euphemism for nechasim she'en lamachrayis, it's property that doesn't have a chrayis on it. In other words, there's no lien on it because it's movable property. So metaltli and nechasim she'en lamachrayis are the same thing. They're synonyms for each other. So Rabbi Shimon holds that if that's all that you have for the moser dina, that's not good enough. Even though there's a car, a Corvette that's worth $50,000, so that doesn't count. That's not considered karka. It's metaltli, and that won't count for the moser dina requirement. And unklun. So you see, Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree that you can use metaltli. The Mishnah Beferish says in a moment. So you have karka, until you have properties that have achrayis. Again, karka and nechosim sheyesh l'machrayis are equivalent. They're the same thing. They're synonyms for each other. And it has to be yosar shtei ksubos dinar. It has to be at least a mosar dinar above the value of the two ksubos and the ksubos b'din dichrin that's included in them. So how can you tell me Rabbi Shimon holds afilu metaltli? He clearly holds only mekarkoi. So Gemara says, now we have to give a different answer. Ultimately, we'll say no. We just flip around the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon's Shitas. So that would be an ultimate answer, but right now we'll try something else. Elohacha b'dina mishubadi komivligi. You know what the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon are arguing about over here? Whether the dinar has to be in extant in the estate, or it could even be something that's mishubad, a lien on the estate that will come into the estate or not. So the Tanakama holds ma'asavar nibnei chorin in mishubadi lo, that it has to be extant in the estate right then and there. So if there's a moser dinar extant in the estate, fine. But if there's something that's going to be coming in, there's something that was owed to the father, but it hasn't come in yet, it's roi to come in, but it's not there yet, so then that can't count for the moser dinar. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds, yes, it can. You can count that for the moser dinar. Now, the Gemara says, there's a problem with the language over here. If this were true, that Rabbi Shimon is the more lenient opinion, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, im yeshom moser dinar, would he have said, if there is a moser dinar there? He should have said, kivon sheyeshom moser dinar, meboile. He should have said that since there is a moser dinar there, so therefore I'm more makel and say that that counts for the moser dinar. So since he doesn't say that, this can't be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So we've ruled out the first answer, we've ruled out the second answer, and we'll try a third answer right now. Ella, what is the machlos with the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon? Ella v'pachos midinar kamiflagi. It must be that they're arguing about if there's less than a dinar's worth of above the moser of the two ksubas, can you use that to negate the din of ksubas b'din dichrin or not, if you only have less than a shavu pruta. So the Tanakama holds ma'asavar dinar in pachos b'din law. So you must have at least the moser dinar. If you have less than the moser dinar, well, it's something that you can have the Yerusha take hold on, but it's not enough, and therefore there is no ksubas b'din dichrin. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds that there is. Umar savar afilu pachos b'dinar. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that, yes, even less than the pachos b'dinar is the din of ksubas b'din dichrin going to apply. Gemara says, that's not what he said. Or Rabbi Shimon, dinar kamar, he befeir, he said a dinar. You're going to tell me, so flip it around. Let's say that the third case over here is that Rabbi Shimon holds, a moser must be a dinar, it can't be pachos mikadinar, and it's a Tanakama that holds that it could be pachos mikadinar. That can't be, because the Tanakama also befeir, says dinar. Tanakama, demas nisin, nami dinar kamar, because the Tanakama in our Mishnah also said that it's a dinar. Everyone holds a dinar. Nobody holds it's pachos mikadinar. That can't be what they're arguing about. So Gemara says, you're right. None of these three answers are good the way we have them. But either of the first two answers would be good if we just flip around the sheetas. Ella, kihanach trei lishnoi kamai the epoch. That either of the two first answers that we gave, either that we're dealing over here with the machlokis on whether or not the Mosar can be metaltli or not. So instead of saying the Rabbi Shimon says it must be metaltli and the Tanakhama says it's karka, the other way around. Say the Rabbi Shimon holds it must be karka, which is in accord with the Mishnah that we'll learn in a moment, and it's the Tanakhama that says metaltli. So Rabbi Shimon's more machmir. Or in the second case that we brought down, that the Mishubadi, so it's Rabbi Shimon who really holds that Mishubadi is no good. Not that he's the Momeka one, he holds that Mishubadi is no good, and it's the Tanakhama that's the Momeka one, and the Mishubadi are good. Now, with these two, Terutzim, they're valid Terutzim to say what the Machlokas is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon without saying that it's necessarily talking about the Machlokas being Achas B'chayev, Yachas B'moso. They both hold Achas B'chayev, Yachas B'moso. You could connect B'nin Dichrin, but you need to have a Moser Dinar, and that's what they're arguing about, what constitutes a Moser Dinar. How do we paskin? Omer Marzutra, Mishmeid Rapapa, Marzutra said the name of Rapapa, Hilchasa, the halach is as follows. Achas b'chayv yachas b'moso, yesh langsu has been indichud. Like we just said, everybody holds that, so that is the halacha. And then he added on, uksuva nasis moser l'chaberta. And the payment of the ksuba, that in and of itself, counts for the mosar dinar, mosar l'chaberta. Now, Gemara says, why did he have to tell us both of these things? If you know the second one, obviously you hold ksuvas ben dichrin, so you shouldn't need to tell me the first one. So Gemara says, bishlama yeshmin an achas b'chayi achas b'mosu yeshling ksuvas ben dichrin. If you only are telling me that, then so then I understand why you have to tell it to me. If you're not going to hold v'loashmin an ksuvas nasas mosu l'chaberta, if you don't hold that the ksuba itself that you're paying to the second wife counts as a moser diner, so then you have to tell me that there is a din of ksuvas ben dichrin in the case of achas b'chayev v'achas b'mosu. So therefore, I would have said, if you didn't have that, havamina, iik mosadina in ilo lo. And I would say, it all depends on the mosadina. So that's why you have to tell me the second din. But once you tell me the second din, el lishmina ksuba nasis mosul chaberta, once you tell me that the ksuba counts as the mosadina, so then, obviously, hol ksubas min dikwin, achas b'chayev, v'achas b'moso. V'ano yadana, we would automatically know. Mishum d'achas b'chayev, v'achas b'moso, yesh ten ksubas min dikwin. So therefore, why do you have to tell me both of them? Why did Mazutra b'shmei the Rabbah tell me both number one and point number two? He should have just said point number two, uksuba nasis mosul chaberta, and I would automatically know point number one, achas b'chayev, v'achas b'moso, yesh ten ksubas min dikwin. So Gemara says, no. It's a case that you wouldn't automatically know. Iyashmin and hachi, if you in fact only told me the second case, you know what I would have said? There could be three wives over here. Again, Torah never recommends a person have more than one wife, and since the Chaim of Rabbeinu Gershom, we obviously only have only one wife, at least amongst Akshinaskim. Amongst Sfardim, they did have the custom of having more than one wife. Again, never recommended, but allowed. In any event, so a person here has three wives. Umesu shtayim b'chayev. He married three wives, and two of them, Nebuch, died during his lifetime, and then the third wife outlived him, v'yachas b'moso. And then the third wife only dies after he has already died. V'ach d'mayis li'ach hamisa, and the one that died last, the woman who died after the husband had died, she never had any boys. So therefore there's no Yerusha over there because he had boys with the first two wives, so therefore the girls from the third wife don't get included in the Yerusha. So you'll let us nekevahi v'lav bas Yerusha. Therefore, she doesn't get any inheritance, her children don't get any inheritance. So in that situation, you do have two wives. It's not achas b'chayev yachas b'moso. You have two wives over here. And I might have said, aval achas b'chayev yachas b'moso. But in a case with only one wife, then, and if the one that died last, the woman who died, it's only two wives, after the husband died, and she has a boy, so he inherits, so I would say in that situation, maybe we shouldn't apply the din of suvas min dichrin, because they're going to inherit differently. This son is going to inherit differently than the sons of the first wife, and that could lead to fights. Linsuya means kitata. There'll be a fight, and therefore you might have thought that they shouldn't apply the din of ksubas din dichrin if it's only achas b'chayev yachas b'moso. And therefore, the din is kamash v'lod. Marzutra is telling us the name of Rapapa that no, that's why you have to tell me both of them. Not only it's ksubas nasas moso l'chaverta, but also that achas b'chayev yachas b'moso yeshlan ksubas din dichrin. Oh, very good. Now we get to the Mishnah, which we've been talking about, that will finally point out the din of ksuvas min dichrin that it only applies if you have at least a mosar dinar in the ksuba after both ksubas are paid off to this wife and that wife with the ksuvas min dichrin. And the Mishnah tells us, Mishnah Yonosu Shtei Nosu, a man marries two wives, Umesu, and they both died, Nebuch, Bi'ache Kach Mesu, and he dies subsequently. Now, the children from wife number one and the children from wife number two, the boys in both, so Bi'isom and Mevakshin Ksuba Simim, each of them is going to seek out the Ksuba of their mother. They inherited their mother's rights. The mother was entitled to the Ksuba Sminin Dichrin, that was part of the Ksuba arrangement. So each of them comes and wants to inherit the Ksuba Sminin Dichrin from their respective mothers. The angel Elish takes Ksubos, and there's only enough over here for exactly the payment of the two Ksubos, not taking into account the additional benefit that each one will get for Ksubos Min Dichrin. So there's only enough to pay off the two Ksubos and not to take into account Ksubos Min Dichrin. So then, Cholkin Bishaba. Then the children, the sons from wife number one and the sons from wife number two, they divide up the estate exactly evenly. There's two children from the first one, let's say no Bukhar, make it nice and simple, two sons from the first wife, two sons from the second wife, so each of them gets 25% of the estate. We don't say, well, the two sons from the first wife, their Ksuvas Benin Dichrin was much bigger than the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin of the second wife. We don't say that if there's not a Moser Dinar. Cholkim Mishaba. But, here we teach us this din, Hayesha Moser Dinar, if there was in fact a Moser Dinar, after you paid off the two ksubas, including the ksubas ben dichrin, there still would be at least a dinar left to fulfill the chaluka de araisa. So then the rabbi's takan of ksubas ben dichrin kicks in, and elu notin ksubas iman, the sons of wife number one, will take their ksubas ben dichrin, the elu notin ksubas iman, and the sons of wife number two will take their ksubas Binin Dichrin from wife number two, and therefore everybody's happy in the rest of the estate. The Moser Dinar, or it could be much more than a Moser Dinar, that they divide up again equally. So if there's four sons, as we just said, each will get 25%. Im Omri Yisom, let's say in the case where it's not enough to have Moser Dinar. So the children of the first wife, so they want to be smart, and they say, listen, we'll add to the estate to make it enough to have a Moser Dinar. We would get $100,000 if we had Ksubas Ben Dichrin, and the sons from the other wife would only get $50,000, but there's only $150,000 in the estate, and therefore there's no Ksubas Ben Dichrin. Each we're getting $75,000, so we'd rather put in a dollar, we'll put in a dinar. Now there's $150,001 dinarim in the estate, and therefore now we can collect $100,000. They'll collect the $50,000. We'll divide up one dinar. So this way, we'll get $100,000 and 50% of one dinar, and they'll get $50,000 and 50% of one dinar, rather than each getting $75,000. So they want to do that. If the Yisomim say, "Anachnu malam on nixil avinu yofa dinar," we'll add a dinar to it. So now there's a Moser dinar. Kadeshi luk subas iman. So this way they'll each get subas min dichrin, and they do much better because their subas min dichrin was much bigger than the children of wife number two's subas min dichrin. So therefore, ain't shomelam. We don't do this. El, what do we do? El shomelam is in chosav beis din. The beis din evaluates how much the estate is worth, and if it was worth $150,000 in my example, so then they would only have an equal division. If it was worth $150,000 plus an additional dinar, then each of them would divide up their ksuvas ben dichrin. Now, Mishnah continues, says, "Hayu shom nechosim b'roi." If there were properties that were going to come into the estate, there were IOUs to the estate, but they hadn't been collected yet. So there were things that would come into the estate. Einon kibemuchsok. When we evaluate the estate, we don't count them as if they're already in there. That's what the Tanakhama says. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Afilu yeshom nechosim she'elam achrayis. Even if you have extant, you have metaltali. You don't have karka, but you have metaltali. Never mind, it's going to come into the estate. It's there right now. He has a Corvette. And that Corvette would make it more than a Moser Dinar. So then, einon klum. We don't count that because, and this is what I pointed out earlier in the Shia, this is where Rabbi Shimon, the Feirish, states, you have to have property. Nechosim is real property, not metaltli, and certainly not something that is roy. It's going to come into the estate, but it's not there now. And you need to have over here yoser ashtei haksubos dinar. You need to have this moser dinar above and beyond the value of the two ksubos. You have to have at least a dinar's worth of property, and if they can divide that up, then you have ksubos min dichrin, Rishim says, but otherwise you don't, and you divide everything evenly. Okay. That was hopefully, this mission was actually rehashing of many dinim that we've already talked about. Tana Rabban, we learned the following braisa, reiterates what we said in the Mishnah. Lazu Elef, Lazu Chamesh Meyos. I give the example 100,000, 50,000. Here, they're giving the example of 1,000 and 500. So that's the Ksubas B'din Dichrin that we go to the first wife, children, and the 500 goes to the second wife's children. So if that's it that was in the estate, there's only 1,500 over here. Im yesha mosa dinar, but there's no more, then they wouldn't get ksuvas min dinar. But im yesha mosa dinar, if there is at least one dinar more, so then elunot ksuvas siman, the sons of the first wife will take their 1,000, and the sons of the second wife, elunot ksuvas siman, they'll take their 500, and they'll split the mosa dinar plus that may be over there. But there isn't this Moser Dina, then Yachluk B'Shava. So in this case over here, there would be 1,500. They would get 750, and they would get 750 because there's no Moser Dina. If there's a Moser Dina, then they'll divide up the Moser Dina 50-50, but the Ksubas Min Dichun of the first wife is 1,000. Ksubas Min Dichun of the second wife is 500. So the children of the first wife get 1,000, children of the second wife get 500, and therefore, as long as Moser Dina, you're still maintaining the din daraisa of dividing up some way the chaluka on a daraisa basis, so the takana of the rabbanon the ksuvas bin dichun applies. Now the Gemara says pshita, it's obvious, it's clear. Merubin, if the estate was worth much more than the ksuvas bin dichun, so it was at least the Moser Dinar, and then vinismatu, but then prices went down, things changed, and now it's less. So in that situation, kfar zochu b'myorshin, the moment the father passed away, the moment the husband over here passed away, so then the children at that moment inherited. If there was a Moser Dinar at that point, so then the children from wife number one inherit the ksuvas bin dichrin, the children from wife two inherit their ksuvas bin dichrin, and even though at that point there was a Moser Dinar, but there's no Moser Dinar right now, tough luck. They already inherited, and the division already took place, and we don't go and break it up. But what about if it was the other way around? Mu'atin, originally there wasn't a Moser Dinar, and then prices went up, finisrabu, and now the estate has worth more than a Moser Dinar mai. Do we say no, they inherited it, but they inherited at the beginning, and there wasn't a Moser Dinar, so they split it 50-50? Or do we say no, bottom line is, right now, when they actually do the chalukah, there will be Moser Dinar, and therefore we should in fact take into account that there's a Moser Dinar, and in this situation, we would in fact give each of them the ksuvas bin dichrin. Mai, what's the halacha? So the Gemara answers this with the Toshma. We learn from the following story, the Nichse, the Bey Bar Tzirtzer, the property that belonged to this person known as Bar Tzirtzer. So it was a very small estate. Mu'otin, it was originally very small, but the Nisrabu Havu. So he had two wives, and there was a question of Ksubas Min Dichrin in this situation. And originally there wouldn't have been because it wasn't enough, but then the estate increased in value. Also, were coming to Rav Amram, and the children from wife number one, wife number two, came to Rav Amram, and they wanted to know: is there a din of ksuvas bin dichrin in this situation? Or not originally, there wouldn't have been. Everybody would agree there wasn't Moser Dinar, but then subsequently there was. So, how again do we say? Do we look at it from the time of the actual death of the parent, and then there wasn't enough, or do we say right now there is enough? So therefore, you could have the chaluka deraisa, and then we could have the rabbanon of ksuvas bin dichrin. So, Amar Lahu. The opinion of Rav Amram to them was as follows: Zil Paisinu, go and make a pshar over here. He tells the children from the second wife, who had the smaller ksuba, figure it out. Go work out a deal with the children from the first wife's ksuba, which is larger, and then you'll get something. But otherwise, they're going to get the entire amount, and you'll just split the Moser Dinar. So figure out something, Zil Paisinu. But Lo Ashkichu, they didn't want to listen to him. They said, no, we want to split it all 50-50. So Amalahu. So Rav Amram told them, then I'm going to go put you in Chayrim. Elo Mifaisisu, if you don't go and do a pshara, if you don't try to make some sort of an accommodation over here to them, so if Elo Mifaisisu Luhu, Mochina Luhu, Besilva the Lo Maba Doma, I will go and pierce you with a type of a lancet that doesn't draw blood. In other words, I will go and put you in Chayrim. As Rashi, the last Rashi on the page says, Kot Sheinu Motzi Dam, this is like a pinprick that won't cause a blood loss when you would hit it into the, pierce it into the skin, but both were baser, klomar, shamta the nido, you put them into some sort of a chayrim. In other words, he paskined, Rav Amram seems to paskin over here, that in fact, muatin vinis rabu, so there would be ksuvas min dichrin. However, he sent the case to the court to judge. Shadrinu lekamei de Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, as we previously pointed out, is a baki in dinim. So he sent him to Rav Nachman's court to go pass him the case. And Rav Nachman disagreed with him. Amalhen, Rav Nachman said to them, Kishem she merubim v'nis atu. And we turn to Tzadi Aleph on the days, Zochu ben Yorshin. Just like in the case where it started off being a large amount, and we say, oh, there is ksuvas min dichrin. And even though it subsequently got smaller, and there wouldn't be a Moser Dinar, and we say, no, they already were zoch in it. So he says the same thing applies over here. Kach muatin. Even in a situation where it started off not having a Moser Dinar, so then they inherited at that point in time, and even though it subsequently became larger, Zocha ben Yorshin, each of them already was Zocha. So in this situation, they would split it 50-50 and not have the Ksuvas Min Dichrin, so he disagreed with the Psak of Rav Amram. Now we have a whole series of cases that we're going to continue with the rest of today's year and into tomorrow's year, And we have a siman. We always say after simanim. We say it's a school to say after simanim. So we'll say the Mishnah represents a case that we'll have a discussion of. So first we have Elef, then we have Meya. There'll be two very similar cases, as we'll see. Then you have Mitzvah Biksuba, then you have Zakov Soga, Zokav Sidosov, and you have Bidvarim Asikin. Each of these will represent a case discussion that we'll have today and tomorrow Shia. So we start off with the first one, which is Elef. How Gavra, the once was a person, Davu Maski Be Alpha Zuza, he owed somebody $1,000. So Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. Habule Tre Apadne. Now, he had two houses. So Reuven, who owes Shimon $1,000, has collateral of two houses. Each of them is worth $500. And he sold them. So they were his properties, and he sold them. He sold them to Levi. So Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, had properties that were in his possession at the time of the loan, so they're going to be meshubad for the loan. And he subsequently sells each of them to Levi. So Levi bought each of them for $500. That's the background. Now, the loan comes due, Shimon goes to collect it, Reuven can't pay it, Reuven doesn't have any money or property extant, so they go to the Nechosim Mishubadim. So the Baal Chov Shimon goes to Levi, who purchased these Nechosim that were Mishubadim, and he goes and takes one of the houses from him. Also, Baal Chov Shimon, the Baal Chov, Tarfel Lechotim Inai, who takes one of the houses from Levi. Hodor Katarf Lidach, he wants to go take the second one now to finish up the other $500 of the $1,000 Chov. Now, Levi wanted these houses. So Shokol Alfi Zuze, Levi goes and takes $1,000, 1,000 Zuz, the Ka'ozul Gabe, and he goes to Shimon, the Baal Chov, and he tells him, Ishavyaloch Alfa Zuze Lechai, if the first house that you already took, you're willing to accept as the complete payment of $1,000, you like that house so much that you're willing to have paid $500 for it, but really accept it as $1,000, so then you can keep it. Otherwise, V'ilo, if you say, no, I want my full $1,000, here's your full $1,000. Shokel Alpha Zuse, I'll give you the full $1,000, be stalak, and you have to go away and leave both houses back to me. I bought both of them. You're owed $1,000, I'll give you $1,000. Or, if you want, keep one house, which you only thought was worth $500, but you're going to accept it for full payment of the $1,000 debt. You'll have one house, and I'll have one house. So what's the halacha? So this was brought to Rami Bar Chama. And Rabbi Yochanan thought, so Rabbi Yochanan Lemeimar, he thought to say, this is exactly the case of our Mishnah, Hainu Mas Nisan, where you have, Imam Yisomim, Mare Onu Malin, Nirsei Oviv, Yofa Dinar, we don't allow it. He thought that this was a trick, he thought this was a chicanery, that the sons of the first wife want to add a dinar into the estate, so now there's a Moser Dinar, so they can go collect their much larger Ksuvas Min Dichlin than the children of the second wife. So Rabbi Yochanan thought this is the same thing. He's telling him, basically, say this house is worth $1,000, and this way you got your $1,000, but I'll keep the second house. So that's what Rami Rechamim wanted to say, and therefore this wouldn't be allowed. And the Baal Chov Shimon has the right to go grab the second house, because he says, I got $500, I'm owed $1,000, I'm taking the other house for $500 as well. But Rava said it's not the same. So he disagreed with Rami Rechamim. Amalei Rava, Rava said, me dummy, the two cases aren't similar. In the Mishnah's case, Hosam Islup said to Liasmi, when the first orphans of the first wife go add a dinar into the estate, and that is the most a dinar, they're hurting the other orphans from wife number two. But here, Hacham Yislip Seda, here Shimon the Baal Chov, he's not being hurt at all. He lent Reuven $1,000, and he's going to either get a house that he's willing to accept as $1,000, or Levi will give him $1,000. So in this situation, he's not being hurt at all. Hacham Yislip Seda, Alpha Yov, Yalpha Shokil. Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, and he's getting back $1,000 from Levi. So what difference does it make? So Rava says that's perfectly acceptable. It's not comparable to our Mishnah. Now, let's say that Shimon said, okay, I'll take the house for the $500, and I'll say that that paid off the loan. I like the house also, so I'm willing to accept that for the $1,000. Now, the tier four become a kasvinan. Now, Levi has a right to go back to Reuven and said, listen, I paid off your debt. You owe me back for the money that I spent to pay off your debt. So, do we say we write it for $500 or for $1,000? After all, the debt is totally null and void now, so one could argue that Levi should get $1,000 back from Reuven, even though he only gave up one house. If he gave him $1,000, of course, he'll get the $1,000. But if he only gave him one house, so technically that's only worth $500. But bottom line is, the debt no longer has to be paid, so it was the value of $1,000. So Do we write him this shtar for 1,000 or for 500? So, machlokas. Ravina Amar bi Alpha, Ravavira Amar bi Chamesh Mea. It's a machlokas over here. Ravina says, listen, you paid off the debt for 1,000. What difference does it make if you paid it off with a $500 house only? And therefore, you're entitled to get a shtar saying that you paid off $1,000 and you can go to Ruven and he owes you now $1,000. Whereas Ravina said, no, come on. The house was only worth 500. That's a subjective value. No, he was willing to take because he wanted the house. So that doesn't mean that Reuven should have to pay for that. So you only can go back to Reuven for $500. How do we paskin? Vilza b'chamesh mea. We give him only 500 in the shtar. Now, the second case that we have, mea, is identical to this, except instead of 1,000, it's 100. Not sure why we have both cases. Mistama, that these two cases were brought separately and they're now brought together in the base medrash. But each case was a real case that came separately. How gavra davu maske be meazuze? There was again Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon, not $1,000, $100. Everything else would be exactly the same. So Reuven borrows $100 from Shimon. Now his collateral are two little fields instead of two houses. It's two fields. That's the other slight difference in the cases. How leitrek tine de aria, two small pieces of land. Okay, chad zabinu bechamshin, chad bechamshin. Each of them was worth 50, these two small pieces of land, and he sold them. He sold them to Levi. Sold Levi the first piece of land for 50, sold him the second piece of land for 50. Now, the loan is due. Shimon wants to collect from Reuven. Reuven has no other money, has no other properties. So also, Balchov, Shimon calls, Tarfel Chabinai, who takes one of the pieces of land from Levi for $50. Now, Hodor also the carved Leidach. He wants to now take the second one. The payback is for 100. They're both karka that's Meshuba to him, so he's entitled to do so. So again, Levi comes to Shimon and he says, he takes $100. Shako me'ezuze, takes 100 zuz, kaz l'gabe. And he goes to Shimon and he says, listen, v'yamalei, ish aviloch me'ezuze l'chayai. If you're willing to accept the piece of land that you took for 50 as being worth 100 and the loan is done and all gone with, so then fine, you keep that one piece of land for 50 and I'll keep the other piece of land for 50. But if you're not willing to accept, you say, no, you want your full 100, you think it's only worth 50 and you want the other 50. So v'ilo, if you're not willing to do what I just said, shkomea, then here's 100 zuz, shkomea zuze, v'istalik, and out of here. You're out of the din because you lent Reuven $100, and now you got back your $100. You lent him 100 zuz, here's your 100 zuz back. So again, exactly the same case as before. So here, instead of Rav Amram, Sovereign Rav Yosef, Lamema Rav Yosef said, like Rav Amram said, Hayinu Masnisin, isn't this our Mishnah? Imam Yisomu Chule, and that they're trying to add on to the estate after the father had died, giving it now a Moser Diner, so they can collect the Ksuz bin Dechlin. He said, you're not allowed to do that. So Rav Yosef thought, over here, it's the same thing, you're not allowed to do that. And here, instead of Rava, we have Abaye. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Midami, the two cases are incomparable. Hasam Islup Seid Liyasme. In the case of the Mishnah, there was a loss by adding a Moser Diner from the orphans of wife number one. They're causing a loss to the orphans of wife number two. So therefore, we don't allow it. However, Hach, in our case over here, might say the Islay, there was no loss over here to Shimon. Maya Yav, he lent Reuven $100, 100 zuz, and Maya Shakel, and he's taking back 100 zuz. So there's no loss, so therefore it's allowed. Okay, same thing again as before, but Tirfo, Bekama Kasvina. Now, Levi has the right to go back to Reuven and say, listen, I paid off your debt, you owe me money. So in the shtar of paying off the debt, let's say that Shimon accepted one parcel of land. He took one of the pieces of land that was worth only 50, but he accepted it for the full 100. So how much do we write in this document now? Did Levi pay off 100, or did he only pay off 50? Same question as before, and same machlok as before. Ravina Amar b'Meya, Ravira Amar b'Chamishin. Ravina and Rabbi Avira have the same machlokas. Ravina says that we view it as he paid off the whole debt, so therefore he's entitled to go back to Reuven and get $100, not 50. Whereas Ravira says, no, he only really paid off 50 because that piece of land is only worth 50, so therefore you only get 50. How do we paskin? Again, like we said before, the halacha is like Rav Avira, that we only view what it is objectively worth. That's what we count. That's what we write in the shtar. And he's only entitled to go get back from Reuven 50 and not 100. Next case. How gavra d'havu maske be'me'azuzi. There was a guy who had borrowed $100. Shachim. And then he dies. So shava ketina di'ara d'havi shavi chamishin zuzi. He had left one piece of land. That's all he had in his estate. And it was only worth 50. So it was worth half of the debt. So the Bali Chov come to the estate, also Bal Chov, and the Katar Flay. So let's make it again that Reuven was the person who borrowed $100 from Shimon. Reuven dies, and Reuven's estate has only this one piece of land worth 50. So Shimon the Bal Chov comes and takes it. He's entitled to go take it. Also Bal Chov and Katar Flay. Now, Ozu Yasme Yovale Chamishin Susi. The Yisomim said, we really want that piece of land. That's our father's piece of land. We have fond memories of it. It means a lot to us. And they went to the Baal Chov, and they gave them 50 zuz to take back the land. Ah, so they did that. Now, What happens? The Yasmi gave him the 50 zuz and had the katarfla. He says, now you have a piece of land in the estate worth the other 50 that is owed to me still. I was owed 100. I took it the first time. You bought it back. So now I'm going to give me tarif it again. And I want to take it for the second time to get my other 50. So they were not happy about this, so they went to Beis Din. Also coming thereby, they went to Abaye to Paskin. Amalhen, Abaye said to the Yisomim, he said to them, Mitzvah al ha-Yisomim lefro chov avien. Well, it's not a din, we can't go collect from you. If you know your father owed this guy money, you admit your father owed Shimon 100 bucks. Nobody's a cheater over here. Your father really owed Shimon 100 bucks. So when you paid that 50 bucks, since there's a mitzvah, you to go pay back your father's debts, hani kamoi mitzvah aviditu. So what you did over here was basically doing a mitzvah when you paid back that 50 zuz. You weren't really paying it for that piece of land. You essentially were doing a mitzvah of paying back your father's debts. Yashar koyach, tremendous mitzvah. But now, you have that property, which was your father's. So hashtag kitarif bedin katarif. So he's really taking that. He's taking the 50 from you, and he's taking the 50 from the estate. So he's okay. What he did was he got his 100 back that he really was owed by your father, you doing a mitzvah by paying the 50. And the other piece of land, even though you bought it back, so to say, you didn't really buy it back. That was really paying off the debt that the 50 that your father owed, in addition to the 50 land that this guy took, that Shimon took. However, he said, if in fact when you gave him the 50, you said this is to buy back the land and not to pay back the father's debts, so then you bought back the land and you're not paying back the father's debts. Below Amaran, and he only said this, the law Amrule, Hani Chamishin Zuze, Deme the Ara Ketina. We're not paying back our father's debt with this 50. We're buying this piece of land from you. So then in that situation, they're entitled to keep the land. Aval Amrule, Hani Chamishin Zuze, Deme Ara Ketina, Salluke Salkua. So then they purchased that from him, it has nothing to do with the estate, and he has no right to go grab it the second time. Another case. How Gavra, there once was a person, the Zabna Luxubasa de Ime Betova Sanoa. So he was going to eventually inherit his mother's kasuba. So he said, listen to somebody. How about on speculation? My mother may die first, she may die second compared to her husband. And thus she may or may not go and eventually get a kasuba. Plus, I may or may not inherit it from her. But I'm willing to sell you my rights on speculation right now for that value, what's called Tova Sanoa. So the ksuba is worth $100,000. And there's a chance, maybe not, that I'll be the one that will inherit that right to that $100,000. I'll sell that to you for $10,000. Tova sanoa. I'll sell it to you for a small amount of speculation. Now, the Omar lay, and he said to the person who's buying the ksuba from him on this tova sanoa, he asked you, if my mother were to come, im asya aim umararo, and she were to go and say, no, I don't want you selling my ksuba, so lo mifatsina loch, I will not do anything about it. If she says, no, I'm not giving you the right to go and sell my ksuba, how exactly she would do this is not important, but she was nullifying, so to say, his ability to go and sell the rights to the ksuba. She'll say that she's not giving it to her son, she'll give it to somebody else to go and collect the ksuba. So in that situation, the son who sold the rights to his mother ksuba, Betova Sanah, but Amalei, he tells the guy, listen, I asya em umarira lo mifatsina loch. I will not go and protest it. In other words, you're in trouble. You lost out. You're taking a risk. It's an additional speculation over here. Now, shchiva imei lo yarara. The mother, in fact, died and didn't protest. So, technically, now, the guy who bought the rights to the ksuba on speculation hit a gold mine. He bought this $100,000 ksuba for $10,000. But the son comes along and wants to pull a smart, a fast one. But also, the son comes, become ira, and he protests now in the place of his mother. So his mother had the right to protest, and he wouldn't have been able to do this, but he's now taking the place of his mother and protesting that he couldn't have sold the ksuba for Tova Sanah. So he tries to pull a fast one. They go to Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama lemeimar iu bimkom imekoi. Rami Bar Chama says, "Listen, it's a fast one that he's pulling, but it's a legal fast one. He has the right, so to say, to stand in for his mother now that the mother passed away, and the mother had the right to be ma'arer. She could protest it. So therefore, he has the right to protest it." But Rava says, "Absolutely not. Omele Rava, no. Nihi the achray is the da lo kabil alei. You're right. The son over here didn't accept upon himself that he would go and protest if his mother protested. But certainly, when he sold it to this person on speculation, achray is the day milo kabel. He certainly said, I'm not going to go and protest it. So that's a given. So therefore, if the mother had protested, so the guy bought it on speculation, would have been out. But the fact that the mother didn't protest, he can't now come in the place of the mother and say, I'm protesting on behalf of my mother, because that, essentially, he was guaranteeing wouldn't occur. Finally, the last case. Another case came to Rabbi Rachama. Reuven Shimon chasad l'Shimon shel bechrayis. Reuven sold the field to Shimon without any achrayis. Normally, when you sell a field, you're assuming normally that in case my credit has come and take that field from you, I'll owe you back money. I'll return the money that you paid me for the field. But here, Reuven specifically sold it to Shimon without achrayis. He says, listen, if any credit is lying, come and take this field for any reason, you're out, not me. You're the one that will suffer the loss. Okay, Shimon accepted that. And then subsequently, Shimon didn't want the field. But he also, Shimon, he sold it back to Reuven. He said, okay, I bought it from you for $1,000. I really don't need the field. I'll sell it back to you for $1,000, and I'll give you achrayis to make him want to do this. And Reuven says, fine. So now Reuven has his original field, which he had sold to Shimon without achrayis, but bought it back from Shimon with achrayis. And we turn to Tzadi Bey's Omer Aleph. Now, the also Baal Chov, the Reuven. Now, Reuven did have creditors. The Baal Chov of Reuven now come to take this field. He has no other money. He owed somebody else $2,000, and they come to take this field. So the Baal Chov of Reuven come to take this field. Now, it's Reuven's field. Under normal circumstances, end of the case. But here, the Ketar V'lei Minei, when they took it from him, Din Ahu D'Azul Shimon U'Fatzile. So the din is that Shimon has to go pay off that debt because Shimon has guaranteed him achrayis. So if they take the field from Reuven, Shimon will have to go and either get the field back or pay off that debt so Reuven can keep the field. Now, this is obviously very strange because Shimon wasn't the one that was obligated to pay the money. But since he had sold it back to Reuven, that very field that Reuven had, so he had sold it back to Reuven. Again, the original field was in Reuven's possession at the time that Reuven had borrowed $2,000 from Levi, from the other person. So that field was leaned. But when he sold it to Shimon, he sold it to him without achrayis. So that lien, essentially, is no longer Reuven's responsibility. The lien is still there. He can't abrogate the lien, but he can abrogate his responsibility to Shimon. But Shimon, when he sold it back to Reuven, he promised him achrayis. So therefore, now that the field is taken away, you have the paradoxical situation that Reuven, who originally owned the field and had it as collateral for the loan, doesn't have to pay for it, and Shimon has to pay for it. Rava says, that's impossible. Amalei Rava. Rava says, Rabbi Rachama, Nihi de achrayis de almo kibel alei, achrayis de nashe mi kibel alei. No. When Reuven said to Shimon, I'm not going to go and give you any achrayis on it, so granted, he was saying, if somebody else comes to grab it, fine, but I can't come to you and grab it from you and claim achrayis from you. So for anybody else, you're right, I wouldn't have had to give achrayis to. But to you, Shimon, he can't go and say, you owe me now for my field. Umode Rava, however, Rava did admit that in the following case, Reuven sheyarash saw to be Yaakov. If Reuven had inherited the field from Yaakov, and Yaakov is the one that actually owes somebody else, and then umarko l'Shimon, Reuven sells this field that he inherited, and he sold it to Shimon here without achrayis, and now the also Shimon umarko Reuven achrayis, and then Shimon didn't want it, and he sold it back to Reuven, but with achrayis. So the exact same scenario, except the field was inherited by Reuven rather than it was owned by Reuven. In this situation, if a Baal Chov of Yaakov, the father, comes, also Baal Chov of Yaakov, the Ketar V'lei Minei, and goes and takes it from him, so now, normally, Reuven would have no choice. It was his father's estate. Nope, they took it. It was a legitimate taking. He would have no choice. But here, since he had sold it to Shimon without achrayis, and Shimon had sold it back to him with achrayis, in this situation, Reuven does have the right, Dinu, the Ozul, Shimon, and Mufasa Le Minei, Shimon would have to go and appease the creditors of Yaakov, and either let them have the field, and then he would pay Reuven for the field, or he would pay the creditors off so Reuven could keep the field. He has to go and do everything he can to get the field back to Reuven. Why? How's this case different, my Tava? Because here, Reuven is a Baal Chov de Yaakov, ke Baal Chov de Almodami. Reuven is an inheritor of Yaakov, but he's not the Baal Chov. And therefore, this is like somebody else. And just like if somebody else had come to take the field, then Reuven had sold it to Shimon without achrayis, tough luck, Shimon. And when Shimon sold it back to Reuven with achrayis, it's tough luck on Shimon. So to over here with the Baal Chov, it's different than the first case, which was Reuven originally owning it. So again, the big distinction over here, Rav is telling us, is did Reuven own it himself? So then he has to, he can't go to Shimon and say, you owe me the money. But if it was a field that he inherited, he can go to Shimon and say, listen, sorry, you owe me the money. Again, a little bit of a complicated case. I hope it was clear. With this, we conclude today's share.